anytime now. Just go.
Yeah, we can just go anytime.
Just go anytime to Sarah and Charlie's podcast. I don't know what I'm doing.
Episode 2, though.
Episode 2! Killer Pillar Talk. Pillow Talk. Did I just say
Pillar Talk? I like Killer Pillar Talk.
No, that just seems like I'd just be doing a podcast about true crimes that happened in front of columns.
Yeah, Roman architecture.
My dad would probably like that podcast.
I don't know if the podcast would be iconic, but it would definitely be ionic.
Gross. Architect jokes.
Yikes.
Yuck. For those of you who don't know, my parents are both architects. I was dragged to a lot of really boring historical places as a child.
Boring?
Yeah, well, right. I was like 10 years old, and they're like, this is where George Washington slept. And I was like, I don't care. Can I go get some ice cream now?
I live near Valley Forge. Don't forget.
Where George Washington slept?
For a season. Oh, the winter when he was leading the
troops.
Revolution.
Great. Yeah. I guess it's somewhat less boring and monotonous to me now, but I feel like I can't go in like tours and be like, and this is where Abraham Lincoln had sex with his wife. I don't know.
Speaking of old stories
of
men doing weird things.
Well, this is actually not a man doing weird things, it's a woman.
I love it.
I know, we're
diversity.
Very
diversity.
We're very feminist here on Killer Pillow. Yeah, I can't talk right now, words are hard. I feel like I haven't been using my voice as much as I should being quarantined in the house, so excuse me for my lack of pronunciation.
Wait, you're quarantined? What's going on?
You know what's going on.
Ow.
Yes.
I was trying to be funny. Anyway.
Anyway, okay.
That's my MO. Trying to be funny.
I'm sorry ahead of time to everyone who is Italian. If I butcher all of these names, I'm sorry.
Were we in Italia?
It is. It does take place in Italy.
That's a spicy meatball.
No, don't do that. That's offensive.
Darn it.
I don't think you're allowed to do that anymore. Anyway,
a woman serial killer.
Yeah.
And I've always said women can be serial killers too.
I mean, I guess, yeah, she is. I think she's, you become a serial killer at 3. So I think she just makes the cut.
You become one at 3?
I think so.
At 3 what?
Kills.
Kills. Okay.
After you
I was like
three
years
people.
Old. Jesus.
No, that would be very disturbing.
You probably are one at 3.
And there are some children who have killed people, but I don't think they were 3 years old.
Ever seen The Shining? I don't know. I haven't seen
The Shining, the kid doesn't kill anyone, I don't think. No.
Okay.
You're the one who's read all those Stephen King books, though.
Not The Shining.
All right, because you're scared of
Doctor Sleep's over there.
Isn't that the sequel to The Shining, though?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway, also, this is, just so you guys know, I don't know if anyone did listen to the last podcast, I did get something wrong, and I would like to correct that now.
For the record,
Leslie Mahaffey was 14 years old, not 15 years old. I said she was 15.
I do not remember who that is.
She was one of the victims of Carla and Paul.
Now Barbara. I remember, and I do not like it.
I know. So sorry about that. Leslie, rest in peace.
She was 14?
Gone too soon, yes.
Gone way too soon.
Yeah. It's very sad. Anyway, so now onward, I just wanted to rectify that, so in case people were, like, yelling at their, you know, listening device, like, she was 14, not 15.
She was only 14.
Which is worse, but
she was
anyway,
only 14.
So I didn't want to be that person that was like, I got it wrong, I'm not in any way, like, officially a reporter, anything like that.
I'm not a reporter either.
Charlie's not a reporter either. We're both, comedians and improvisers and actor. Well, you're not an actor. I'm an actor.
I mean, I act.
Sure. So, anyway, if we get all of this wrong, I'm sorry. That's assuming anyone ever actually listens to this podcast.
Don't say this. We're growing a listening base.
Okay.
Listen,
right.
We're coming out grassroots style, right?
Grassroots.
From the ground. We got to build our listenership from the ground up.
Okay.
We got 20 likes on Facebook.
We do have 20 likes on Facebook.
Oh, and be sure to go on Facebook and search Killer Pillow Talk and like it.
Like it, baby. We
and
got
like
a page.
And subscribe to the podcast.
To the podcast.
And if you ever wanted to on either iTunes, Spotify, or Anchor.fm, you can like and rate and review this show.
Do it, because something's got to come out of this quarantine that's good. Am I right?
And why not let it be serial killers?
No, not serial killers. Our podcast.
Our podcast about
serial killers are never good. They're terrible people. I'm not condoning anything that they do. I'm just saying, this one is a weird story. We're going to get into it. And it's weird.
I don't like this stuff.
I know you don't like this stuff, but even this is like... I...
Well, this is too much for you.
It's not too much. It's just like, whoa! What was the thought process behind this?
Wow.
Yeah,
She killed me.
And what are we gonna do? Talk the rest of the podcast and this Christopher Walken?
I'm dead.
Leonardo Cinciulli, the soap.
I feel like it's Italian and you're all... I feel like you're over...
Christopher Walkening it?
Actually, you probably pronounced that right.
I don't know. Okay, well, I'm gonna get into it now.
Now you're telling me
we wasted six and a half minutes on just rambling about nothing.
Okay.
So again, sorry if I butcher all of these because my Italian is not great.
And sorry if I Italian butcher all of these. I'm working on a lunch.
Okay. Oh God.
Let's go.
Are the jokes gonna be that bad the entire time?
Mm-hmm.
Oh God. All right.
Definitely.
Well, I'm sorry.
I don't got anything better. What were you saying?
I was saying, before you talked over me, this is the story of Leonardo...
Da Vinci.
No.
Da Vinci.
Are you going to let me finish what I'm saying?
Okay.
Leonardo Cinciulli, the soap maker of Correggio.
Now, this is great.
Or...
soap. Let's talk about soap. Okay.
All right. In Italian, it's the La...
It's sopa.
Sapon Spicatrice di Correggio.
I don't got anything for that, but what I do have about soap... Now, 20 seconds is the recommended amount.
Hand washing.
To hand wash.
I don't know if this would... You would want to wash your hands with 20 seconds of the soap she made, though.
Is it... It's... I'm guessing it's like the soap from Fight Club.
That's funny you mentioned that. I think that this is where Chuck Palahniuk might have gotten his inspiration for the... Chuck Palahniuk.
Okay.
Yeah. The guy who wrote Fight Club.
Palahniuk. Yeah.
Palahniuk. Sorry. Excuse me. I've never read it. I've watched
the
movie.
Yeah, me neither.
But I was like, okay, I pronounced that wrong too. Anyway.
This is where he got it?
I don't know if he did, but I like it. No. Is very... There are similarities.
I'll find the killer.
But anyway, let's get into it. Get into it. Okay. Leonardo was born on November 14th, 1893, in Montello, Italy, a province of Avellino.
This isn't recent.
No, it's old.
120 years old.
120 years old. So we're progressive here. She had a very difficult childhood. Her mother was a judgy type, you know. She told
her... I thought you were going to say her mother was a judge.
No, her mother...
An Italian judge.
No.
You did.
I'm pretty sure in 1893 you couldn't be a woman and be a judge. That was probably not allowed.
But you could be a serial killer.
Well, she didn't start killing when she was a baby, because that would be very impossible.
An Italian, a baby. So I'm going to stop doing the accent.
Please stop doing that.
All right.
I'm never going to get through the story if you keep doing that.
Go ahead.
Okay. She had a difficult childhood because her mother frequently told her she was... And I quote, cursed by the devil and that her life will come to nothing.
Well, that's what did it.
So sweet. Thanks, Mom. I love you. Thank you. That's so refreshing to hear you say that. So by the time she was a teenager, she had already attempted to kill herself twice. Because, I mean, honestly, who wouldn't want to kill themselves after having that told to them?
Well, your mother thinks you're the devil. You're from the devil.
Yeah, she basically thought her child was Rosemary's baby. Before Rosemary's baby. So it was a pre-Rosemary's baby. I don't think her mother's name was Rosemary. So. Anyway. So
that's probably a rose. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, she had a rough time. So obviously, as soon as she could get out of the house, she did. She in 1914, she married Raffaele Pansardi, a registry office clerk.
Yeah, but she's 21.
All right. Well, I mean, yeah. Okay. So maybe
took her 21 years. All right. Well, two attempts at killing herself.
Okay. So I guess she was like older for the, like, I guess, and I don't know, 1893. Apparently you got married when you were like 12 or 15. But
in 1893, I guess people lived until about age 40 or 50.
Okay. So I guess she was kind of an old maid in this situation.
In Italia, that's how I say it. In Italia, people are all hopped up on wine and pasta. I don't know. They could have lived long.
I don't know. Well, I mean, from the pictures I've seen, she's not much of a looker.
She's ancient.
She looks like an Italian grandma. Well, okay, but I mean, like, great. I don't know what she looked like when she was 21. But
all right.
Well, so she married Raffaele Pensardi, and he was a registry office clerk. And her parents were not happy with this because they planned to marry her off for someone else.
To who?
I don't. Who? It doesn't. I didn't.
Name me someone better than Raffaele Pensardi.
I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, but
you can't do it. They couldn't do it.
So her mother was so angry that she married this other man that she didn't approve of that she put a curse on the couple. And
but
so now,
the daughter was already the curse of the devil.
Yeah. So now she's cursed by the devil and her mother. So
you know what they say. You know what they say. Two curses are better than one.
Yeah. So, double curse now.
Double curse!
Anyway.
Sorry, we've been playing video games.
Yeah, we've been playing a lot of video games, but that's...
Double curse!
Okay. So, then the newlywed couple moved to Lariano in Alta Arpinia.
You said all that right?
I don't know.
Okay.
We're just going to assume that I said it right. No one else is here to be like, that was wrong. So we're going to assume that it was right, and if you tell me it's wrong later, that's fine.
We'll post a correction
and,
next episode.
During their marriage, Leonarda had 17 pregnancies. That's a lot.
I'm going to ask, how many children?
Out of those 17 children, 3 of them were miscarried, and then 10 of them died before the age of 10.
That's very terrible because, so,
I mean, this is kind of like her motivation.
She had 4 children.
She had four children that survived past the age of 10.
4 surviving children.
Yeah, so she was
4/17ths.
4/17ths, yes.
As a percentage, that is not so good.
I know.
As the Italians would say, not so good.
Okay.
But yes. 25%.
Okay, so yeah, it wasn't a high percentage. She had a lot of pregnancies, but not a lot of children. Well, she did have a lot of children. She had 14, so 17, 14 out of 17.
So three she miscarried.
Three she miscarried.
So that had to do with her biology.
Mm-hmm.
Or different factors.
You know.
Smoking cigarettes.
Environment. I don't know. Stress.
Wine. And then... 10, what do you mean 10 died before?
Before they reached the age of 10, they died.
How?
I don't know exactly.
Falling in the canals? What's happening?
Various things. I didn't find out exactly what happened to them, but she was, because
that's
of this.
That's what the story is. 10 died before 10.
But I.
10 before 10.
Okay, well, this is just all precursor to why she is the way she is.
In the 30 for 30, they would say 10 before 10.
Sure.
It's an ESPN thing.
I don't watch ESPN.
All right, great. I'm longing for a sport.
I'm not at all. I don't miss them at all. Okay, well, anyway. So, as a result, she was very overprotective of her last 4 children.
Of the last 4, yeah.
Yeah. And it also didn't help that earlier in her life, she was told, she was told by a fortune teller that she would be married and have many children, but all of them would die. So, I put, in other words...
We gotta... Are these fortune tellers something? How do they do that?
I don't know. Read her palm, looked in a crystal ball.
Are they real?
Tarot cards.
How'd they do that? Now, how'd they do that?
I don't have the insight into that. Okay. This isn't like Let's Debunk Fortune Tellers podcast. Okay, so in my opinion, it's like she has Cersei Lannister syndrome, right? You know? Like, because Cersei, I don't know if you guys watched GOT, Game of Thrones, but,
I did.
But, yeah, the Cersei...
You made me.
Cersei Lannister goes batshit crazy because all her children die. I won't go further into that. I mean, that's like a basic thing. I'm not going to say exactly what happened, but that is a thing. No. And also, not, I feel like if you got news like that from a fortune teller, that would kind of make you not want to go to a fortune teller again.
I know, you wouldn't go, you wouldn't go back.
Not this lady. Well, she went to a different one. She wanted to get a second opinion, maybe, I guess.
Second opinion.
So she didn't have enough bad news the first time, so she's like, I'm going to go to a different one, and they'll tell me something better. And that gypsy told her, in your right hand, I see prison. In your left hand, a criminal asylum.
That's like the choosing between lesser evils.
Yeah, right? So since Leonardo...
lesser of the two.
No, I think it's both. She's getting both.
Oh, she sees...
You don't get a choice. Oh, so... There's no choice. They're both in her hands.
If she went with her left hand...
No.
And she went with her right
it's
hand.
It's not like she's like pick and choose. You want a criminal asylum or a prison? It's She's both. Getting both.
Oh.
But I haven't gotten to that part yet. So, all
right. Well, the first fortune teller was right, so I'm going to assume the second fortune teller was right.
I don't know. I mean, everyone dies eventually, so I guess... is that
hitting you with the hard truths on this podcast?
All right, well, anyway,
everyone dies eventually.
Okay, I'm trying to talk.
Okay,
since Leonardo was very superstitious and told all of her life that she was cursed, it probably didn't take much effort to believe any of these things were true. So I'm guessing that she took all of this very seriously, that she was going to lose all of her children. And she was going to be put in a prison and a criminal asylum. So, at that point...
You should be real overprotective, though, of those last four.
Really, really overprotective. So, in 1926...
What?
She was 33 years old.
In 1926? Let me check the math on that. 1893, 1926... Okay, go on.
Are you going to do that every single time I mention numbers and ages? Because it's going to be annoying.
No, just that time. Thought it would be funny.
It's not funny.
Okay.
So, yeah. She was imprisoned for fraud. And I guess that was her right hand.
Of all things.
That was her right hand's fault. Hang on. I'm just going to sing the rest
of it. She was 33 years old.
She was 33 years old, and she got thrown into prison for fraud, and I said she must have blamed her right hand for that one.
What am I trying to think of? Tis the right hand of the...
I don't know what you're talking about. You're making something up.
I don't know. I had a thought, and then it went away.
Then a few years after that, in 1930, her house in Loriano was destroyed by an earthquake.
So, it seems like she's one good luck after, like, she's like all good luck.
I told you, she's been cursed by the devil, her mother, right, and cursed. Two different gypsies. So, I mean, I'm sure she just doesn't right, have good
cursed.
Luck.
All right, she's cursed by everybody she comes into contact with.
I know, I mean, it's amazing she made it this far.
And Leonardo.
Leonardo.
She had a sister, Raffaella.
No, I don't think so. I don't know. I don't think she had any
sister. And then her other sister, Michelangelo. Michelangelo. Actually, don't take... I have to mail this idea to myself now, don't I?
No.
Michelangelo?
No. Anyway.
We're in quarantine.
So, after their house was destroyed, Leonardo and the rest of her family, so that's her husband...
In an earthquake.
Yeah, her husband, the four children that survived not dying from other things.
They survived the earthquake?
I'm assuming so.
Resilient sons of bitches.
Well, I don't know. Maybe some of these 10 children that she lost before the age of 10.
Died in the earthquake.
Died in the earthquake. I don't know. I don't have
I hate
exact
this story.
Dates.
I don't like how she had so many kids and doesn't have all her kids. I don't. I hate this story.
I'm sorry.
It gets weirder.
No. Okay, well, they moved to Correggio, and she opened up a small shop.
Oh, Correggio.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Correggio.
Yeah. They had the Correggio to move there.
Really?
Okay. Keep going.
Feel free to groan at that part, everyone.
Keep going.
So, locals described her as very popular, said she was nice, gentle, a doting mother, and a friendly neighbor.
You'd be a doting mother, too, if you only had four surviving children.
Well, I can see that because I looked up a picture of her and she reminds me of Strega Nona.
Oh, Strega Nona.
From the book. Striganona.
Right.
Rest in peace, Tommy DiPaolo.
Right. I was wondering why DiPaolo, I heard of it.
Sorry. When I was a kid, my parents used to read that book to me all the time.
And she looks like that old lady Striganona.
Yeah. And if you haven't read the book,
it's a children's tale.
It's a children's story. It's about a female witch doctor, and her name is Striganona. And she is highly regarded by all the villagers for curing headaches, helping single women find husbands, and curing warts.
And if you haven't read the book, but you've seen the picture, it's that stereotypical Italian lady with the huge nose.
She's got a like
curly, dark
hair. Dark hair. The like kind of bandana, like
very
handkerchief looking.
A thick woman, as they say.
Yeah.
A short.
She looks like she would be on the front of like a
pasta box.
A pasta box or like a
or pasta,
pasta sauce.
Right.
Yeah,
pasta
definitely.
Sauce.
That's what this lady looked like.
Try Striganona on your rigatoni.
Yeah. And so in the book, Striganona hires a man named Big Anthony to help her run the house because she's getting old. And the only rule that she has is to not touch her magic pasta pot. And of course, he doesn't listen. And, you know, crazy things happen.
Magic pause. I don't think an Italian person wrote this.
Tommy DiPaolo was Italian.
I guess he was Italian.
And he died recently, so rest in peace.
All right, I'll be you.
Sure. Anyway, so that's kind of like the chaos that ensues in 1939 when Leonardo's eldest son, Giuseppe...
Listen, this... Okay, sorry. Keep going.
Giuseppe is drafted into the Italian army in the beginning of World War II.
I was going to say, this is the least amount of chaos that arises in 1939. I could tell you so much more, but it's all part of the war.
It's part of this.
Okay, great. Okay.
This is the chaos that ensued in her family. Hitler. I'm not talking about Hitler in general.
Yeah. Hitler.
But yes, okay. Her son, Giuseppe, was drafted into the Italian army in the beginning of World War II. And Giuseppe was her favorite child.
Oh, no.
So, and she would do anything to protect him. And believe me, she does.
Oh, and now the war took him.
But including dabbling in human sacrifices.
Human sacrifices to what?
I don't know. It doesn't clarify why she thought this was a good idea.
For the war?
To protect her son from the war. But she was just a worried mother being like, my son's going off to a war. I don't care what war it is. I don't know what war it is.
Oh,
war
it's the war.
Is people getting killed. So she was like, I'm just going to start sacrificing people to, I don't even know.
Little did we know in history.
God,
it's
the devil,
war.
Somebody. I don't know how she determined that this was going to protect her son in battle against the Nazis, but she cray. So she starts planning the death of three of her female middle-aged neighbors. You know, just because.
Oh, you don't want to be living near the people you kill. You're the first suspect.
Anyway, accounts are somewhat different on how she actually...
You're in apartment C, but A, B, and D are dead. Was it you in apartment C?
I don't think she lived in an apartment. I think they had houses. Anyway, accounts are somewhat different on how she knew these women. Some say that Leonardo was also herself a fortune teller and that these women visited her for help. And then others say that they were just friends of hers and that would ask her for advice from time to time.
And little did they know.
Like we do.
Help they would not receive.
No. So her first victim was named Faustina Setti. She was a lifelong spinster who came to Leonardo to help her finally find a husband. Just like Striganona.
Leonardo had a husband. This is past...
Well,
no. What's her name?
What? Faustina.
Faustina, right.
Sorry.
She needed a husband.
Yeah, she wanted a husband. Mm-hmm. Leonardo offered to help her find a husband. And right. So, you know, bada bing, bada boom.
What'd they find? Enter Tony. Now.
And that's the same way that Striganona used to do that, but I don't think this part would be, next part would be appropriate for a children's book.
Go ahead.
It's yucky.
Go ahead.
So Leonardo tells Faustina that she knows a man in Pola and she will be perfect for him. But she also told her that she didn't want her to tell anyone about the marriage or the match. She didn't want her to say anything to any of her family members, her friends.
It's a secret wedding.
And she convinced
her... The wedding es una secreta.
No. Yeah, sure.
That's Spanish, but I hope it's Italian?
No, it's not. Okay. If it's Spanish, it's not Italian. That's how that works. So Leonardo convinces her also to write all these letters and, like, post-date them. That will be, so they'll be mailed, like, after she gets to Paola, and then that'll explain, like, where she's going and what she's doing to everyone that she knows. Hmm. And Faustina's like, yeah, cool, cool. This is all totally normal and above board. I always write I always write letters and postcards weeks before I send them, right?
Listen, okay? If I want a plan to go smoothly, I'm not going to involve the postal system.
All right, well, you know why she's doing that, right?
To be somewhere else and have people make her think she's there.
Yeah, she's doing it to be like, oh, that person, because she's just going to disappear, and people will be like, oh, well, she left and moved to this place.
Right.
You know.
To be somewhere else, but yet she's murdered.
Anyway, so on the day Faustina is leaving to go to Paola for this fake man that she's supposed to go marry, she goes to see Leonardo one last time, and Leonardo offers Faustina a glass of wine, which says...
As you do.
And she says, why not? It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Why not? Why not?
I'm paraphrasing, of course. I don't know if she actually said that.
A glass of vino, go on.
Because, you know, it's Italy and that's what you do. And it turns out that the wine is drugged and Faustina passes out. Then once she's unconscious, Leonardo takes an axe and kills her. And then drags her body into the closet to cut it up into 9 parts. I don't know why she would do that in the closet. That seemed like a very...
I need a piece of pen and paper. What 9... Are you going to tell me the 9 parts?
No.
Okay, don't, because I do not like
that. Why would they, like, detail something like that? And how would you... No.
I guess
it's a very long time ago. I don't think there were...
I guess I'd be a head too long.
Don't think about that.
Okay. Sorry.
I personally am like, why would she do that in a closet? She must have had a pretty big closet if she was doing it inside that closet. But okay.
Can't do that in a Brooklyn apartment.
And then she took all of the blood from the body and gathered it up separately in a basin and put it aside. I'm not sure why she did that either.
Oh, this I don't like.
And so according to the official statement, as it appears in her memoir, she then drew...
Memoir?
She wrote a memoir.
A tell-all?
Yes. She then threw the body parts into a pot with 7 kilos of caustic soda that she had brought to make soap. Then she stirred it all together until it...
Caustic soda, aka Pepsi. Oh!
No.
Sorry.
She stirred it all together it dissolved into a thick, dark mush, which she then poured into buckets and emptied into the septic tank. And then the leftover blood in the basin, she waited until it coagulated, dried it in the oven, then ground it and mixed it with flour, sugar, milk, chocolate, margarine and eggs.
She's making a cake.
And baked it into lots of crunchy tea cakes that she would give out as refreshments to her house guests.
She making a cake, baby. She making blood cake.
Although she also admitted that her and her son Giuseppe ate them as well.
Well, they must have been good.
They were crunchy, apparently. I don't know if that doesn't sound appetizing. Crunchy tea cakes, but
blood cake.
I've heard of blood pudding, not blood cake.
I've heard of blood oranges, not blood cake. I've heard of caked in blood, but not blood cake.
Oh, God. Okay, so on top of all that, some sources also say that...
hold on, that's disgusting.
That's disgusting.
I don't like that.
But on top of all of that, some...
I wouldn't eat one.
I understand that, but how would you know? You wouldn't go into the house. You go into a nice lady's house, and she's like, "Oh, would you like some cake?"
It just smells like iron. I wouldn't.
I don't think it smelled like blood. She mixed it with chocolate, so it probably smelled more like chocolate than anything. Mm. Anyway, so and actually, on top of all of this, Faustina is also have been told to have paid Leonardo her entire life's savings. 30,000 lira for matchmaking services. So she just paid her all of her money to go match her up with this husband that she never found and then
kill him. And I wonder, I'm no currency whiz, but I wonder how much that is in dollars, I understand.
I don't know. It was in that time period, probably a lot of money.
30,000
lira. Her entire life savings.
In
1940-ish. 40, yeah.
Huh.
So that's probably a lot.
Probably a lot.
So then Leonardo moves on to her next victim, and that was a woman named Francesca Seovi. Francesca paid Leonardo 3,000 lira to help her find a job. She then...
Like a headhunter.
Kind of. I guess like a recruitment sort of thing.
This is a... It's a bad... It's a poor choice of words, but a headhunter, sure.
Yeah, I... Sore. She's hunting heads already. Okay.
Bloodcake.
Yeah, so Francesca paid Leonardo 3,000 lira, so not quite as much.
Tenth of the price.
Husbands are more expensive, apparently.
The blood cakes are more expensive.
She didn't sell them.
Oh. All
right, so
but
she...
But they're worth 30... Okay, go on.
Anyway.
I hate this. Ew. Ew, a fucking blood cake. Ew.
I told you it was weird.
Gross.
So then she told Francesca that she landed her a position at the school for girls in Piacenza. You know.
Is there a school for girls in Piacenza?
I assume so. I don't know now. Piacenza.
Piacenza?
I don't know. It was 1940. I can't really go back and check.
Piacenza? Hashtag woman?
No. And she told Francesca the same thing that she told Faustina, and that was to write a bunch of letters and date them.
Make
for like
them
week,
think you're
for
here.
For like weeks later, and then tell your family and your friends where you're going, but don't say anything to them now because,
switcheroo.
You know, that would be weird to tell them what you're doing with your life.
Now.
Why would you do that
right.
ahead of time? That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So passe. Anyway.
It's a passe.
So she's like, yeah, don't worry. If I suddenly disappear, I'm in Piacenza.
At the school
Piacenza.
For girls. At girls' school.
So on September 5th, 1940, Francesca goes to visit Leonardo one last time and suffers the same fate as Faustina.
No.
With the wine and the axe.
Not the blood
and
cake.
The tea cakes.
No.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, the same kind of deal. Closets and
I started baking.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about blood cake.
I mean...
Why are you doing this to me?
Because it's weird.
Oh.
And so Leonardo's last victim... Oh, this gets the
this
last
is the last victim?
It's the last one. There's only three.
Huh.
Two
cakes.
Down.
I'm sensing a pattern.
Yeah, well, the last victim was named Virginia Cassiopo.
Oh.
No.
Virginia, I had a Cassiopeia. It played. It played music, didn't it?
I don't know.
What am I thinking? Oh, Casio.
You mean like a
like
tape
a,
player?
Yeah, like a tape player.
Oh God, that's not the same thing at all.
Okay.
Well, she was actually a former soprano who sung at La Scala at one point.
Somebody inquire.
Yeah, she came to Leonardo for her job recruiting services as well. Apparently, this is something that she did.
She got a singing gig for her in Tuscaloosa.
No.
Oh.
Paid her 50,000 lira and a sword
of
jewels.
The most so far.
Yep. And Leonardo...
The most so far.
I can interrupt me every time I try and say something.
That's the podcast.
I know, but can I finish a sentence first?
Sure.
I'm pausing so you can say stuff in the middle of things, but then you're just like, while I'm like in the middle of the sentence,
I'm,
like,
doing, blah, blah, blah. I'm not reading this right.
Probably not. And Leonardo told her that she had found Virginia work as a secretary for a mysterious impresario in Florence.
Okay, so she picked a well-known city, but she muddled the details of who the person is.
No, she just said mysterious impresario.
Right. So the employer is, we don't know who.
Yeah.
But we know the city.
Yeah.
That's a famous city. These are two cities I've never heard of.
Yeah,
we
okay.
should go to Italy when all this is over.
Oh, yeah, we should. We'll just take a tour. I think, actually, some of her equipment that she used is in a museum in Rome.
I love Italy.
The pot, for one thing.
Oh, the blood pot?
The blood pot.
Ugh.
Anyway, well, actually, not the blood pot. This
cake pan?
No.
I assume she used a cake.
I will get to that later. But,
oh, God.
So, as with her other two victims, she instructed Virginia not to tell anyone she was leaving and to just write those people postcards and letters to be sent after she got to Florence.
At this point, we know the pattern.
You know, the same thing.
This is her MO.
This is her, yeah.
modus operandi.
Yes. And so on September 30th, 1940, mm. Virginia comes over to say goodbye to Leonardo, and she gives her the same send-off as the other two, which is...
Now, over there, is it summer? Because it's fall here.
I don't know.
Okay. Great.
It's September.
Like, great.
Late, like early late fall. September.
Early. Wait, what year was it?
1940.
Ah. I'm thinking of 60s, I mean.
Okay. But this time, according to Leonardo's statement, wait. When she got...
No, I'm excited about this story.
Okay, well, don't say wait in the middle of me saying something. Wait, what am I supposed to wait for?
The pattern's breaking.
Okay, well, can I finish saying what I was going to say?
Go ahead.
So you're impossible to do a podcast with. I don't know.
Anyone... I'm impossible to do a podcast with. Wait, where are you going? All
right. I didn't actually leave. To be honest, where am I going to go?
Okay. Yes, you are trapped here.
Pretty much. Anyway, on September 30th, 1940, Virginia comes over to say goodbye. I said that already. So the different thing happened this time, according to Leonardo's statement. When she got Virginia, what was left of her, into the pot and melted it.
In that classic soda.
Her flesh was fat and white. And so she added a bottle of cologne to that and boiled it for a while and made it into a most acceptable creamy soap. Ugh. And that's why I think maybe that's why we're, how do you say his last name?
Chuck Palahniuk.
Palahniuk.
Isn't it T?
I thought there was a T. Got the idea for Tyler Durden in Fight Club to make soap out of excess fat from rich women's liposuctions.
There's a T in Tyler and there's a T in these cakes.
Yes. And then she made the soap. This fancy, creamy, like...
Oh my god, like a creamy soap.
Fat skin soap.
What blood soap?
Blood soap. Well, no, the blood she put in cakes, the fat she put into soap.
Oh.
So, it's a different thing.
Right, you make soap with people fat.
According to... Fight Club. Well, yeah, but this lady originated that.
His name was Robert Paulson.
Okay. Her name was Leonardo.
Her name was Leonardo Paulson. Yeah,
no. Not Paulson, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
You have to have seen Fight Club.
Yeah. And so afterwards, she gave out these bars of soap made from this lady and to her neighbors and her acquaintances as gifts. Because, you know, why not? Let's give away the evidence. Yeah. She thought the cakes tasted better, too, because that woman was... really sweet.
Now, I thought the cakes tasted soapy. Okay.
You're getting two things mixed up right now.
Is that the door?
The door?
How do I get out of here? Okay. Keep going.
So, this time...
Are we done?
No. Almost done. Virginia's sister-in-law got suspicious because she's like, what happened to my sister-in-law? She kind of disappeared. And
where my sister, my hands had never been cleaner, but where'd my sister-in-law go?
So she started, you know, doing some investigation. She remembered, she talked to people that had seen Leonardo, seen her sister Virginia visiting Leonardo at the time, right before she died. And she reported her fears to the police superintendent in Reggio.
Il Polizia.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And he opened an investigation and arrested Leonardo.
Mm.
And once she was arrested,
we got her.
Yeah, she immediately confessed that what she'd done in great detail. She was like, I made them into soap and tea cakes.
I made them into tea. The first one was dry. The second one I got right, a little bit moister. The third one, she was fat, so I made her soap.
Made her into soap and tea cakes.
A soap and tea cakes?
You didn't miss that part? She said the cakes tasted better because the woman was sweet.
Yeah,
and I don't know if she meant that personality wise or if she meant like her blood was sugary. Maybe she had diabetes. I don't know.
You know what? I already couldn't sleep last night, and not tonight either. Because now I'm thinking about soap.
Yeah, it's sad.
But is anybody hungry for cake?
No. Not now.
Great. I bake now. So.
Anyway. So, yeah, she was tried for murder in Reggio Emilia in 1946.
Not only was she tried for murder, she was succeeded for murder.
Yeah, she was found. She didn't show any remorse. She was just like, yeah, I killed these women. I needed to protect my son. And they made really good soap and tea cakes.
But she showed up with cakes.
No, I don't think so. Okay. I don't think they had a proper kitchen in prison.
Kitchenette. No. A kitchenette, though.
So she was found guilty on all charges and sentenced to 30 years in prison and 3 years in a criminal asylum.
Ooh. Yeah. The teller was right.
Mm. See? Told you. She already served prison.
How did they do that? Now, how did they do that?
I don't know.
It's got to be some sort of a cold reading type thing.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Okay, anyway, so on October 15th, 1970, at the ripe old age of 77, Leonardo died of cerebral apoplexy at the women's asylum in Pozzuoli.
Good.
And a number of artifacts. I can't. I should not have a podcast if I don't know how to pronounce words. A number of artifacts from this case, including the pot she boiled her victims in, are on display at the Criminological Museum in Rome.
Now, there's a Criminological Museum in Rome?
Yes.
You never hear about it. It's like the least famous museum in Rome.
Well, I mean, it's got a lot of competition. I'm sure people...
Il Duomo is in Rome.
Yeah, so I'm sure people aren't going there to be like, let me see this pot that this
lady... She's Leonardo?
Leonardo.
Michelangelo did stuff
in Rome.
And what about Raphael? And what's the other Ninja Turtle?
Her husband's name was Raphael.
And Raphael. And Mike. And what's the other Ninja Turtle?
Donatello.
Donatello.
They're named after Italian painters.
Right.
Of the Renaissance.
Right. And she was an Italian baker.
Yeah.
Of the wartime.
Exactly.
So she had a rough life.
She had a rough childhood. It was hard.
And a rough adulthood.
And I don't know why she decided, like, oh, I know how I can protect my son. I'll just kill these women and make them into cake.
Yeah, wait. Why did she kill the women?
I don't. The unclear? Thought process, I guess, like, and she has a memoir, so wait, I guess you can read about why she did these things.
I don't want to read the memoir, but what is that? Do you know what the memoir is called?
I don't remember.
We'll post it in the show notes.
I'm going to find out. I'll find out. But she did write a memoir about why she did what she did. And
like the O.J. Simpson kind of thing.
I guess so. Did he
write I did it, this is how I would have done
it. No, she freely admits that she did all of this. She was like, as soon as she got arrested, she was like, this is what happened. I made these women into tea, cakes, and soap. I killed them because my son is going to war and I just needed to protect him.
How'd the son do in the war?
I don't know.
Because it's all for naught if the son died in the war.
I have to double check. We'll put that in the show notes too. Or I'll look it up right now. Let me see.
Yeah, I'm very interested into how the son did in the war. Because the mother is going through a lot of effort.
I mean, I don't think
she's doing a lot.
She's not like one of the more well-known serial killers, because I haven't seen very much stuff done on her. So
right. But how did her son fare?
This is her. She's
in the war.
Got like an angry kind of...
We're looking at a picture of her.
Some mugshot.
Was she supposed to frown in the mugshot?
I think that's just how she looks.
Resting frown face?
Resting frown face. This was like, my sister suggested that I do a true crime pod-like story about cannibalism, and this one sounded the most interesting.
Did the son...
There's a darkly comic play about Zian Suli called Love and Magic in Mama's Kitchen. That was made in...
No, that makes sense. That
was on Broadway in 1983.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway.
Wait, who did the play?
I don't know. It was produced by Lena Wertmuller. I don't know who these people are.
They're not doing plays anymore, but...
This is new. I didn't get this before, but apparently,
a little addendum, if you will. What?
When the police opened an investigation on Leonardo, she didn't confess to the murders until they believed that her son Giuseppe was involved in the crime. So they threatened
her son.
They threatened her son.
This is not one of this. Is not
no, this is the favorite son.
The war son?
Yeah. She confessed the murders, providing detailed accounts of what she had done to save her son from any blame. That was her
favorite
son.
And did the war son survive?
It doesn't say.
Look up Giuseppe.
I did. And
look up a Giuseppe.
I looked up Giuseppe what's face and... Or did she and some Giuseppe Pensardi? I was going by her maiden name. Sorry. Giuseppe Pensardi. Giuseppe Pensardi. Okay, it doesn't. It just says all this stuff about her. It doesn't.
The deadly soap maker.
Yeah, it just says the stuff about her being soapy.
Hang on.
That's her son.
Right.
But I don't.
Hold on.
Wait, my hair.
1970. Or is that her?
That's her. Married Maria Pensardi. No, that's not it. Okay. And? I have to sign up for MyHeritage.com.
No, don't sign up for your heritage.
I don't want to know. I don't know. It doesn't say. It just says, like, all the stuff about her,
wait,
her
Pinterest.
Mom.
Go to the
Pinterest? Why are we going to Pinterest for this? That says Che Guevara. I don't think any of this is right. I don't know if he
Giuseppe
died.
Giuseppe Pensardi death.
I looked that up, and it just came up with more things about his mother. So I don't know if he died or not. This is a character profile from Goodreads. No. I was like, but that's a real person. There's a Giuseppe Pensardi on Instagram that has 652 followers. I don't think that's
so he's barely living too.
I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Alright, well.
Yeah, no one knows.
All we can say is this was a terrible story.
It's a terrible story.
I did not like
it. I don't know if any of it worked. Bad stuff happened.
I didn't like it. A deadly soap maker?
And seriously, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure either way, her son is probably dead now.
Now, yeah.
So I think everyone dies eventually, and there's no way you can really
this coronavirus.
Fix that, even if you murder your neighbors and make them into soap and tea cakes.
Remember, kids, you can't fix your son dying by murdering your neighbors.
I don't think you can fix anything by murdering your neighbors.
Don't do it. Don't murder your neighbors.
Except for maybe like an argument about whether
or not, a noise complaint.
Or whether or not this neighbor can put a fence close to your pool or something.
But that's next week.
But don't do that anyway. That would be bad. You know, just talk it out.
Yeah, just talk it out with your neighbors. Don't make them into soap or
don't
tea cakes.
Don't make them soap, tea cakes.
To save your son.
To save your son from war. It's just not a good idea. I mean, the draft isn't really a thing anymore.
It might come back.
And we don't want it to come back. Okay. Hopefully it doesn't. It's not, you know. Just don't. Yeah. Don't take this story as. This is a cautionary tale of what happens if you go crazy and murder your neighbors and turn them into soap and tea cakes. It's just, you know.
Classic cautionary tale.
Life deals you lemons. You gotta make some lemonade, but don't
if
do it.
If life deals you people fat, make soap.
But not if you're. No.
No.
No. All right. I mean, if you accidentally come into like a bunch of excess fat
right.
that like was like from a liposuction company,
yeah.
then sure, make soap out of that. But I mean, don't like farm it from people because that's wrong.
And is that the moral of the story? No. Don't farm people's fat.
Don't farm people's fat. I mean, it's one thing if you're Tyler Durden and you're robbing the back of a plastic surgeon's to make soap.
All right. Well, never tell me this story again.
I won't.
Okay. Great.
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 I think we're good then.
All right. That's all for our episode 2. Thank you so much. Please like and subscribe to Killer Pillow Talk now on Apple Podcasts. I keep wanting to call it iTunes, but that's not a thing anymore, I guess. Or on Spotify and on
Anchor.fm.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.